I know ads are a bit annoying, but they're the only way I can make sure all content on this site stays free to everyone. If you want to chip in and remove these adverts, visit patreon.com/girlonthenet and support me there at any level.
Women in armour. Valour, steel, and sex. I hear it long before I see it. The steady rhythm of heavy metal boots. The strides measured and calm. Metronome perfect, almost hypnotic. Louder and louder until the door slides open and the figure steps into the room. The form is bulky but moves with a strange grace. I watch as it approaches, the sound of steel rubbing on steel, leather creaking, and the gentle rustle of cloth. I set down the book I had been reading and stand to move towards the figure, noting the blade sheathed at its hip. They stop, and even through the bulky helmet I can feel their eyes on me. Then the armoured hands lift to its head and fumble for a moment before catching underneath and pulling. Then the helmet lifts away, and beneath is the most beautiful face I have ever seen. She shakes her hair free and smiles at me. "Hey, honey," she says with a smile. "Do you want to help me out of this thing?" The inherent eroticism of armor. Armor is sexy. This is something I have known for a very long time, but articulating why I find it so has never been easy for me. Before I go on, I should clarify that I am both a medievalist and a sci-fi nerd, so when I refer to armor, I mean both the full plate you may have seen in museums and the more fantastic powered armor that turns up in many fictional universes. If you're still unsure, think the difference between the Kingsguard in Game of Thrones and Iron Man. Both armor, though of very different sorts. So, why is armor sexy? Well, to start with, it comes back to one of the classic heroic images, the knight in shining armor. We associate heavy plate armor with heroic figures, and while the historian in me knows that the truth was often far more complex than that, a good story is often enough. Armor is a symbol of strength, protection, and knightly valor. Women in armor. Useful armor. Think of a woman in armor. I'll give you a moment. Now, I strongly suspect that you're picturing something that tries far too hard to be sexy. Most likely it's either a metal chainmail bikini or a plate suit with a chest piece that features sculpted breasts. This is known as a boob plate by most people, and is quite silly for a number of reasons. But it can look good, and some people genuinely enjoy the style. Personally, however, I'm a man of simple tastes. In real life, I will always prefer something simple and effective. But that's where my love of science fiction comes in. For that need not be constrained by practical considerations. From the restrained designs of Mass Effect to the gloriously baroque designs of Warhammer 40,000, science fiction is awash with designs for armor that looks effective, while also being sexy beyond all reason. And ultimately, that's what appeals to me. Armor is sexy because it works. It protects. It takes something soft and vulnerable and stands between them and harm. Plus, while revealing clothing can be hot, so can something that goes in completely the other direction. And then, of course, there's the art of taking it off. Taking off someone else's clothes is fun, and getting in and out of armor on your own is really difficult. There's a very good reason why knights had squires. I own a basic pair of leather braces, and I often have to ask for help with the buckles. Anything more complex than that, and you need help. There's a lot of potential there, and though I highly doubt it's a fantasy I'll ever be able to explore in real life, largely because I don't have a couple of grand spare to spend on a full harness, it's still one that runs through my brain from time to time, and sometimes that's enough. Take it off. I smile at her and lean in to kiss her. She tilts her head slightly as our lips meet, and I taste this hint of sweat on her lips. I take the helmet and sword from her and place them on their stand. Next, she holds out her arm, and I carefully pull the gauntlet from her hand. Its articulated fingers rattle as they come free, and with it comes the leather glove, exposing bare skin beneath. I run my hand down the cool metal bracer still covering her wrist, and feel the skin on her hand tingle as my chilled fingers make contact with her bare flesh. She chuckles. "I thought I asked you to help me, not tease me," she says, but there's no malice to her words, and I smirk in response. "I can do both," I say. She laughs. I turn her wrist so the straps that hold her braces in place are exposed, and I carefully undo the buckles. 1, 2, and 3. As the last buckle comes loose, I catch the bracer and place it beside the gauntlet. Beneath the bracer is the thick material of her padded jacket, and I gently brush a stray thread back into place. Next, I unclip her pauldron and pull it away, the edge of her chainmail coat now visible. Her other arm comes up, and I repeat the procedure, but this time I guide her hand up to my mouth and gently kiss it. She giggles. I drop to my knees, and she turns around. My fingers deftly unbuckle the straps of her greaves, and I pull them away one at a time, exposing the simple cloth trousers beneath. I run my fingers up her legs, and she sighs at the feel of me through the fabric. "You are a menace," she mutters. I smile up at her, my face level with an ass still covered by plate steel. "I try," I respond. I undo the buckles on her shoes and pull them off one at a time. The metal plates that cover the leather clink as I work, but soon they're on the stand. The thick socks go straight in the laundry basket, and her bare feet flex a little on the cool floor. I lift myself back to my feet. Without the padded boots, I'm a fair bit taller than her, and she has to lean back a ways to kiss me. She almost overbalances, but I wrap an arm around her waist and hold her tight while we kiss. The metal is cool and solid, but her lips are warm and so very soft. I make sure she's back on balance, then I lift the gorget over her head. It, too, takes its place on the stand. She turns her head from side to side and rolls her neck around, finally able to do so without being poked in the face. I resist the urge to prod her in the cheek, but it is a close-run thing. Only one piece now remains, though it is by far the largest. Her arms come up, allowing me access to the straps that hold her breast and back plates in place, and with practiced motions I undo them, then repeat the process on the other side. Lastly, I undo one of the shoulder straps and pull the chest pieces away, using the one remaining strap to keep them together and place them onto the stand. She sighs happily as the weight comes away, but there are still a few parts remaining. The chainmail coat comes away next, and getting out of it is by far the least dignified part of the process. She bends over, giving me an admittedly spectacular view, and I help her pull the coat over her head. She has to be careful not to get her hair caught on the rings, but once it's clear, I take up the heavy bundle and hang it on a second stand. Now all that's left is a thick, padded gambeson. She doesn't really need my help with that, but I know she wants it anyway. I kiss her again, and as I do, my hands unlace the jacket, and I pull it from her shoulders. It drops to the floor as she presses into me, and I'm inclined to leave it there for a while. She pushes the hair out of her face and glances over to the bathroom. "Well then, Squire," she says, putting a lot of emphasis on the last word. "I could use a shower," she grins at me. "Oh, really?" I reply, and my hand snakes around her waist again. She pulls away, but takes my hand in hers and begins to lead me over to the bathroom. "Come on," she says. "You can help with all those hard-to-reach areas." I smile and follow her, and all I can think to say is, "Yes, my lady."